A very good evening to you all. Last Christmas, a great uncle was given his first ever desktop computer. And like all good electrical Christmas presents, it had stopped working by the end of January. So he called tech support, and this is how the conversation was recorded for training and monitoring purposes. I'm having trouble with my computer. What sort of trouble? Well, I was typing away and suddenly the screen went blank. Everything I was writing was lost. What does your screen look like now? Nothing. Have you tried turning it on and off again? I have. Okay, look at the back of the monitor and see where the power cord goes in. Can you see that? No. Even if you climb and lean over. It's not because I don't have the right angle to reach. It's because it's dark. Dark? Yes, dark. Because the lights are off. Well, go and turn them on again. Well, I can't. Why not? Because there's a power cut. I see now. I've got it. Listen to me. Do you still have the packaging that the computer came in? Yes, I do. Great. Pack it all back up as best as you can and take it back to the shop where it was bought. Really? Is it that bad? Yes, I'm afraid it is. All right then. But when I take it back, what should I tell the shop? Tell them I'm too stupid to own a computer. Excuse me. I'm back on. Am I on? Now I'm on. I heard some laughter. When you think about it, it's remarkable, isn't it, that we can make any sort of joke out of darkness. Even from a young age, darkness is less of a joke and more of something to shy away from. Because darkness, so much of the time, is no joke. When we talk about darkness in our lives, it's no joke. We all go through, at various times and stages in our lives, dark times, whether personally or as a family or as a nation or even globally. At Christmas, we're especially reminded, aren't we, of the past year. And maybe 2017 for you has been particularly dark and you're keen to get it over with. And when we're in that place, that dark place, what do we want? Light, isn't it? We may phrase it along the lines of something like, I'm looking for that glimmer of light, that ray of sunshine, that light at the end of the tunnel. However we describe it and phrase it, we prefer light to darkness. When we talk about darkness, it's no joke. We want light. There's another type of darkness that the Bible talks about, and it's this: when all is not well, but we don't know it. I wonder if you've ever seen The Truman Show. It's a show within a show where there are actors and there is a plot. And there is a director. Everything, basically, is fake. Apart from one thing. In fact, apart from one man. Truman Burbank. You see, he lives in a bubble. He was born and brought up in this bubble, this dome habitat. And he doesn't know it. He doesn't know that everything around him is staged. He's totally in the dark, that everything around him isn't real. One stage, a protester manages to get close to him to try and warn him about this, but he was in danger of living his whole life under the control of someone who didn't love him or was not well. In fact, he was in the dark about the reality that he could have been enjoying, and he didn't know it. Imagine that. It's the picture we got from our first reading. Do you remember how it started? There it is on the screen. Behind me, the people walking in darkness. Who would want to walk in darkness? You would want to walk in the dark. But what if you don't realize that you're in the dark? That's dangerous. And yet the sobering message of the Bible is that we can all be like Truman. We can all live in God's world and totally miss the reality. We can miss the truth that this is not all there is, that there is a creator God who loves you and loves me so much, and he wants a personal relationship with us. We can be in the dark about how our turning our back on the creator God and turning our back on his rule as king deeply offends him. And it acts as a kind of barrier to any sort of relationship with him. We can be in the dark even about Christmas and how the joy of giving gifts is a picture and should point us to the great giver, our God who has given us our lives and our breath and so much more. We can live in the dark as we reject the truth that God has revealed for us in the Bible. God has revealed himself. And when we reject that truth, that's what the Bible calls sin. Sin is a problem that affects every single one of us. Because even like Truman, when we're given hints and opportunities to cling to the truth, we much rather go our own way and reject God's rule as king and effectively stay in the darkness. And staying in the darkness would be no less than what we deserve for rejecting God. In fact, it's what we're guaranteed. If we reject God, eternal darkness away from God's love. But our story, your story, and my story, doesn't have to end with darkness. It doesn't have to end there, because to a humanity who have a natural tendency to ignore God and go our own way, the most remarkable gift was given. Light was sent to drown the darkness. Have you ever been in pitch black? The image that comes to mind is when I'm in a theatre, and it's just before the actors are about to come on stage, and the curtain is down, and the lights go off, and the theatre is huge, and you feel engulfed by the darkness. Do you know what I mean? And then the light comes on, and it pierces the darkness, and any hint of the oppressiveness of the blackness is gone. That's the picture that is given in that passage of darkness being soaked up by light. Let me read it to you. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Light is given to drown the darkness in our lives, both the darkness of our pain and suffering and heartache that we can so often feel, but also the darkness of our rejection of God. How is this possible? Well, because the light is a person. You see, to state the obvious, light guides, doesn't it? It points the way. It makes you feel safe. It gets rid of darkness. Light doesn't remain distant. It leaves its source and it travels down to light us and light our way. And that is why Jesus is the light. Notice how Jesus is described from that passage that we had read first. Let me read it up for us. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God himself came to reveal himself to us and light our way out of darkness. He came as a person. He came as Jesus Christ. Sounds wonderful? Yeah. Fanciful? Have you been to see the lights yet on Lower Morden Lane? We as a family went this week and came across a number of lovely houses. There we are, in some of them. There we go. And we finally came across this house. My camera doesn't do it justice. It's amazing. It's full of lights. And when we were there, the owner came out to convince my daughter that the dancing Santa was absolutely fine and he wasn't going to get her. I asked him, how long did it take to put these lights up? And he told me it took him a full 2 weeks. 2 weeks of unravelling cable and lights and climbing ladders. And even that day, that evening that we were there, he was still tinkering with it and replacing light bulbs. When a light blows, he's there to tend to it. If someone can do that with Christmas decorations, how much more would the creator of the universe, who made you and who made me, and who loves you and who loves me, get involved in dispelling the darkness that separates us? Well, he did. And he did. He did it by coming to this earth as a child who would grow up into the man Jesus Christ and would die on the cross for us. See, when Jesus died on the cross, and this is at the very heart of the Christian message, when Jesus died on the cross, it was Jesus soaking up the darkness. Or to put it another way, it was Jesus soaking up all the filth that separates us from God. All of our sin laid on Jesus. That for all who turn to Jesus as Saviour, the one who saves us from the darkness, when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin anymore. He dispels the darkness of our sin. And for the recipient of that promise, there is also great hope. A certain hope, a certain joy, a day when all the darkness will be dealt with. The pain and the suffering and the sickness and the sadness and the sin will be no more. This is from the passage as well, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And that's a picture of the eternity and the eternal promise of Jesus for all who trust in him. But this Christmas, do you prefer light or darkness? Jesus is light to dispel the darkness of our hearts and our lives. And we have a choice. Accept Jesus' sacrifice as that which brings us back to God, or continue living in the darkness. Our story doesn't have to end with darkness. doesn't have to. If you want to know more about this Jesus who dispels the darkness and can drown the darkness in your life, we run an informal and friendly course called Christianity Explored. And you can sign up for this. You'll see some Christianity Explored leaflets in the front of your pews. Don't worry, if you put your name, you won't get lots of junk mail from us. But if you would like to know more about Jesus and more about him who soaks up the darkness and leads to that eternal joy, why not fill it in? Why not come along? Why not see for yourself the evidence for yourself of this Jesus who soaks up the darkness? It's also in your pews, this little booklet called Journey into Life. It gives a little bit more detail about Jesus, the Son of God, who died for us so we didn't have to have darkness as the last thing in our lives. Amen.